There we have it. More could be said. I'll turn back to what the agenda actually is towards the end of the talk. But that's the situation as it stands. You don't back up, they don't know what to do. You're supposed to cave in, you're supposed to whimper, you're supposed to cry, you're supposed to pray for your job and ask forgiveness for speaking what you see to be the truth in a full, forceful, public fashion. That's the issue. And this big part of the agenda is to prevent people from doing exactly that. And that's the whole substance of the democratic process, and it's the whole substance of the academic process. If you are not free to say what you believe to be true and why, right, wrong, or indifferent, there is no discourse. And that's what it is that's to be quelled. That's what it is that's to be quelled. So what's all this about? Well, certainly not what they say it is, but then again, maybe so, in a certain weird way. This really comes down to a roughly 20-page stream of consciousness gut reaction piece, an op-ed in extended fashion, posted on an obscure website on the 12th of September 2001 that was discovered by some college editor in Hamilton, New York, and sent by email to Bill O'Reilly, who immediately turned it into national news 3 years and change after the fact. Man, most university professors would be delighted to have somebody pay that much attention to a throwaway piece. Of course, I've been working on the throwaway piece, and it was in the process of being released as a book at that time. Now, the op editors in Denver made much of the fact that my op-ed didn't have footnotes, they said, in unfootnoted op-ed pieces in Denver. Yeah. I pointed that out, but that didn't see print. I also pointed out that the same piece, refined, polished up, because nobody writes clean text, even Ernest Hemingway didn't manage that fact in one take at length on a given afternoon. But it had been polished, it had been refined, it had been perfected, it had been annotated 178 footnotes deep, and served as a lead essay in the book that was mentioned that got the human rights runner-up notice. They don't want to talk about that. They don't want to read it either. In fact, most of the people who have been sending me the really serious emails have never read the blog piece either. Don't confuse me with facts. I want to hate you, and I want to hate you a lot. And if I read the thing, I might not be able to hate you successfully, so let me forget about the facts and just hate you, damn it. Okay. Because as the young Republicans here did or did not, because it's apparently a forgery, according to them, branded me today, I'm a hate monger. Let me hate you because you're a hate monger, by God. In fact, you insulted somebody that I didn't even know, but I hold dear in a symbolic fashion, and therefore perhaps I'll even kill you. Yeah. And that's in the name of peace. And don't forget it. Yeah. But what was the offending piece for those who hadn't read it? And why did it get written in the first place? Well, I don't know if you remember what you were doing on the morning of September 11, 2001, but I do. I was doing what I always do, because I get up about 6 o'clock and I go to the word processor with a pack of Pell-Mells and a cup of black coffee, and I get some work done, because that's usually before the phone will start ringing and the sirens start sirening and all the rest of the conveniences of modern life that disrupt any possibility of unfragmented thought. So I was doing that when the phone rang. Oh, yeah, great. But I got one of those tricky little technological gadgets called caller ID, and I recognize the name as being a good friend from the old days of the Black Panther Party, Kathleen Cleaver. So I answered, and she said, "Is your TV on?" I said, "Hell no." And she said, "Well, go turn it on, because somebody just flew a plane into the World Trade Center." Well, that caught my attention, because it was Kathleen, so she wouldn't be running some nonsense on me. She said it was probably true, so yeah, I turned my TV in and watched the second plane come in real time. And by the time the fireball had extended the other side, and I got all three, hey, having satellite, got all three channels, major channel kinds of news coverage, and I'm flipping back and forth between them. And by the time the fireball is done, they're already describing this as senseless. That's the word. All three channels, it's being packaged that way. This senseless act, this senseless act, this senseless, 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 senseless act. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, yeah, right. I'm in a little bit of shock too. This is kind of spectacular. It doesn't matter what your position or your perspective may be. This is not something you're going to be seeing every day. And somebody has just flown two commercial airliners with great degree of precision into the World Trade Center, taking both towers, and they're telling me somebody else has flown another one into the Pentagon, and there's a fourth one out there someplace over Pennsylvania, which, oh yeah, whatever happened to that one? Story flipped over that day, but I don't want to go there because that goes into conspiracy mongering stuff. Okay? But whatever happened to that fourth one wasn't what they said happened. I'll just leave it at that. Three planes, three hits, obvious targets. This is not happening by accident. This isn't happen extemporaneously. Somebody has very carefully planned what it is that's happening. I don't know who it is at the moment. But they planned it. If they planned it, they had a purpose. It's not irrational in a sense that it's random. If there's a purpose, there's a motive. Motive and purpose, you can agree with, you can disagree with, but you cannot in any conceivable fashion call it senseless. It has sense. The point then is to understand what that sense might be. What was the purpose? If you can understand the motive, you can get to the purpose. What would motivate someone to do what they just did? Because what they did was immolate themselves along with the other people that are being killed. And they're talking at that point about 18,000, 19,000 people perhaps. Turns out to be 3,000 overall is the rough number. But senseless, that's what I'm responding to. Now the telephone's ringing again. It's the editor of Dark Knight Field Notes says, we need a gut response to this. We need your immediate take. What's happening? And we need it in time to post it on the website tomorrow. And so I sat back at the word processor, changed to a blank screen, and wrote the offending piece. Well, my first response, I've talked to a lot of other people that have had that same response that morning while they were watching it. The thing that occurred to me immediately was in the night of John Kennedy's assassination, a bunch of reporters got to Malcolm X and he said, what do you think this means? And he said, just case chickens coming home to roost. That's how I see it. Got him fired from the Nation of Islam. Upset people then. But that's what I immediately flashed on. That's what just about everybody of color I've ever talked to flashed on. There's no wounded sense of pride involved in communities of color here, and there's no sense of national innocence being on the receiving end of what the nation does. Although it's not actually a nation, it's a proliferation of nations bound together by a statist centralist government at gunpoint, which is what states do, the imposition of arbitrary order by force, which is why you got more people proportionately in this country behind bars with Leonard than any other country on the planet. Pick your great demon state, your totalitarian state, none of them lock up as great a proportion of their population as this country does and convert them into virtual slave laborers, but that's another story. Chickens. Chickens might take us to motive if we view them in a certain way, because Malcolm wasn't talking about birds, not literally. He had something else in mind. And there's something else in mind that occurred to me. Well, let's call them ghosts or spirits, wraiths, ancestors, whatever your tradition, there's a word, but they're all going to come to the same place. There's more than just the people with the box cutters and the plane that are riding in on those aircraft. From a certain tradition, you could call it karma, I suppose, but I don't go there either because it's not mine. But now, whose ghosts or wraiths or spirits would we be talking about? Well, it occurred to me right off that you had a 500,000 plus Iraqi children who have been determined to have died needlessly, I think was the term applied in the report from the United Nations in 1996. Dead as a result of the effects of U.S. sanctions. No, not because Saddam Hussein siphoned off the oil for food money. That oil for food money wasn't even there. It began at the end of 96 as a UN response to the child mortality rates that were occurring under the sanctions in Iraq. So whatever corruption there was in the oil for food program happened after the fact. No, this is when the United States was imposing it through, using the UN as the surrogate, as the entity, as the medium, was imposing a set of sanctions that it designed and enforced. And in 1996, on 60 Minutes, which is not exactly an obscure back-channel community access sort of programming, okay, in an interview with Leslie Stahl, Madeleine Albright, who was at that time U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, responded to a question of whether she knew about this UN report, this estimation of the child fatalities, and she said, yes, we are aware, and we've determined it's worth the cost or worth the price, one or the other. It means the same thing, but I wouldn't want to misquote Madam Madeleine. Yes, we are aware and have determined it's worth the price in someone else's children in order to punctuate the preceding president, father of the current president, George Herbert Walker Bush's articulation of the free world notion that what the world needs to understand is what we say goes. Quote, end quote. What we say goes. And you're not doing what you're told. You're unruly. You fought back. Well, here's how it works. We'll starve your children to death until you're ready to do what you're told. Well, this is under Clinton administration. And Madeleine Albright, having said that, goes on to become Secretary of State. She's actually promoted as a result of that. And American public, well, you all remember the mass demonstrations and professions of outrage that occurred at the end of 96, right? Million people on the mall in Washington, D.C. demanding an end to the sanctions, right? Yeah, you remember the same thing I did. Yawn. 500,000 children dead in a country of 20 million people. That's genocide. And the UN High Commissioner in charge of trying to mediate the effects of what the United States was doing, when Albright announced that, this probably was not the cause that precipitated his resignation, but it correlates fairly closely. Dennis Halliday resigns expressly for the reason that he's in his position, officially in the UN, unable to prevent or halt what he considers to be a policy of deliberate genocide being imposed. And yeah, absolutely no cognitive dissonance, not a ripple of unrest. What do you do when it's your children that are being determined to be worth the price? Do you stand out there and when you're done with the 3,000 names, you start reading theirs? Oh, hell no. They don't count. They don't count. They're not worthy of even missing a cappuccino break for. They're not us, whoever us might be. The us that's getting secured now. From whom? There's a whole lot of us we're getting secured from. Peel that onion, you end up with a pretty small core. It's being protected against everybody here as well as there to make sure that what it was that was being insured in Iraq through those means continues unimpaired. And that's, well, what the present president's daddy called the New World Order. There's another guy that talked about a New World Order sometime about 60 years ago. He's not much thought of fondly in certain circles, although he should be to all appearances, since they're trying to reproduce him without cloning in the context of a collective entity that they used to call the United States.